From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. To begin today's program, we invite your attention to an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, part of a series in which Dr. Cairns answers various questions that are frequently raised as Christians endeavor to live for the Lord and be a witness to the lost. Dr. Cairns is the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and his long experience in the pastoral and teaching ministry will help to provide insights into areas of concern for both believers and unbelievers. A DVD containing all of these interviews is available at no charge from Let the Bible Speak. Ordering information will be given at the close of this broadcast. Now here is Dr. Cairns to answer the question, why are church prayer meetings important?
The importance of a church prayer meeting. Is it important? Why is it important? Is it ordained of God? Or is it something that we can do without? Can you simply say, well, I'll pray at home and I'll not bother with a prayer meeting? Well, remember this. We go back to the New Testament and we find the early church. Now, what the early church did as far as doctrine and practice is certainly the pattern that a good church today would seek to emulate. We find the doctrine of the early church is the very doctrine we are called upon to support and maintain today. But what about the practice of the early church? Acts chapter 1 commences with the people of God waiting for the day of Pentecost, and these all continued with one accord in prayer. When the Spirit of God came upon them, it was upon a people in prayer. The church was born in prayer. You follow through the story of the church in the book of the Acts. Come to chapter 4. You'll find that when they were under persecution, what did they do? When the apostles got released, they came right back to the church and they had a prayer meeting, praising God for the privilege of being able to suffer for Him. You come to Acts chapter 12. Peter's in prison. James has just been murdered. What happened? We read in Acts chapter 12 that prayer was made without ceasing of or by the church unto God for Peter. When Peter got out of prison, the angel opened the prison gates and brought him out. He went to the home of John Mark. And what was happening there? The church was having a prayer meeting. When Paul went to Philippi, what did he do? He went to the place where prayer was wont or accustomed to be made. The early church was a church that majored in great prayer meetings. And every great movement of the Spirit of God through history has been a movement vitally associated with powerful times of prayer. Not just individuals meeting with God, which is certainly important in the church prayer meeting, does not take the place of the individual place with God. But when the church meets to pray, that is a time when they seek God for corporate blessing. Matthew Henry once said that when God purposes to bless his church, he sets his people a-praying. We have New Testament evidence of that. We have the New Testament pattern for that. And I would say that the only thing that keeps people away from the church prayer meeting and keeps churches from having a real church prayer meeting is worldliness, their busyness with the things of this life that take precedence over the things of God. It's not much wonder the church is in the mess it's in today with so little spiritual power when it has so little time as a body to take with God, to seek his face and invoke his blessing. We must, as a church, give ourselves to prayer.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Our speaker today is the Reverend Armand Tamassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, we are featuring messages from a series he preached from the book of 1 Thessalonians. Today, he will conclude the fourth message in the series, which bears the title, True Preaching Makes a Difference. Now, here is the Reverend Armand Tamassian.
The Lord longs to be desired and sought. And there is no doubt that he has withdrawn somewhat in the manifestation of his power in his church in these days. But that is not to discourage us. That is to encourage us to seek him as we have in the past. Finally, you see here, a persuasion arises out of true preaching. There is a persuasion that arises out of true preaching because Paul says, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Now, there's a question mark here about whether or not this is assurance in terms of the preacher within himself or the reception of the hearers and the assurance that they had within their hearts. But as I say, and as I said from the outset, I think Paul really here is drawing from their personal experience, attesting to what they enjoyed or they experienced when they were there at that time. God was really at work. And one of the ways that God works when he is really striving in hearts and dealing with souls and building his church and extending his kingdom is in not just giving power and a sense of the Spirit of God, but a sense of assurance in the preacher. That the preacher himself gets overwhelmed with a sense of confidence in God and in his word. I think this is something of what Luke points out about Paul at the very end of the book of Acts. It's just coming to mind just now. I don't have this before me, but in Acts chapter 28, it ends this way. The very end of the book of Acts doesn't end with Paul and his martyrdom. It ends with the work of God continuing. But the last verse of the book of Acts, as Paul is here, verse 30 tells us, he dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, he's under house arrest, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him, with all confidence, that in this near the latter part of his ministry, as he is under house arrest and people are coming to him, it didn't remove confidence from him. In fact, the Spirit of God was using him mightily in this season of life, filling his heart with confidence in the word that he preached. Real confidence in the word. Preachers need this, you know. If you think you're the only one sometimes struggles to get up and preach with a real sense of confidence in the word, or even to think about confidently about the word and rest in the word, you're not the only one. You know, for example, I look at this text and wrestle over preaching it to you. It'd be much easier if it was dealing with themes of things that I was confident we knew and we enjoyed. But as soon as I present before you what I believe the text is teaching, it puts an onus on me as well as on you to enjoy what it is dealing with. It calls out responsibility. And like you, we don't want to necessarily run to responsibility, do we? It's calling upon us perhaps the responsibility to seek God for more of his power and his presence and a sense of assurance as the word is preached. And yet, we have to get up and declare the word. But I thank the Lord for the measure of assurance I have in his word. And in him, I believe God is continuing to build his church. I believe that Jesus Christ is still drawing souls. And I believe the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh, whether it goeth, and so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So in other words, I understand this. When God is pleased to blow this way, nothing will stop it. Nothing. And so what are we doing? What are we doing, beloved? What are we called to do? We are to set our sails for the wind. I can't make the wind come. I can't make the Spirit of God work in the unsaved and save them. I can't make the Spirit of God draw the backslider back to himself. I can't make the Spirit of God unify families and transform homes. But I can set the seal. And you can set the seal. We can set the seal and then pray. Wind of God, blow this way. Come over this place. Blow upon this garden. Crying out for God to visit his church here, as he is doing elsewhere. When the Lord begins to work, he works quickly and swiftly, often surprising so many. I look for that day, I do. And this is where prayer becomes key, because prayer was essential in all of this. In the power that attended the preaching, prayer was essential. Look, when you pray for me, you pray that God will make me not just a preacher, but a man of prayer. In fact, you can nearly leave the preaching aside. If God has called me to preach, the continuing battle, largely, is in being a man of prayer. And then you get up, you handle the word with that unction that only God can give, and pray for the congregation. Charles Spurgeon, that great Baptist preacher and extraordinary man of gift and talent, but we would be in error if we attributed it all to him. Those 5,000 or 6,000 that would gather to hear God's servant preach, he understood that the success of his preaching was because of the steadfastness of the prayers of God's people. Here's what he said. Listen very carefully and ask yourself in what way you're contributing to see the same thing happen today. The prayer meeting is an institution which ought to be very precious to us and to be cherished very much by us as a church. For to it we owe everything. When our comparatively little chapel was all but empty, was it not a well-known fact that the prayer meeting was always full? And when the church increased and the place was scarce large enough, it was the prayer meeting that did it all. When we went to Exeter Hall, we were a praying people indeed. When we entered on the larger speculation, as it seemed, of the Surrey Music Hall, what cries and tears went up to heaven for our success. And so it has been ever since. It is in the spirit of prayer that our strength lies. And if we lose this, the locks will be shorn from Samson, and the church of God will become weak as water. And though we, as Samson did, go and try to shake ourselves, as at other times, we shall hear the cry, "The Philistines be upon thee," and our eyes will be put out, and our glory will depart, unless we continue mighty and earnest in prayer. Many of you are praying. For that I thank the Lord. Keep praying. Do not let up. And if you're not found among the number of those that are earnestly seeking God to come into this place, to visit with power, join the ranks of those that are praying. Look what happened in this city when a few men went in. There was nothing there except the synagogue of mostly people that had no interest in hearing what they had to say. Well, they went in with the word of God, with the message of the gospel. And the only other thing they needed? Power, the Holy Ghost, much assurance. We can have our plans, and we can organize all day long. But there are no shortcuts to this. It is received by seeking God. There is a desperate need in these days. I leave this challenge out to you as we close. A desperate need of holy, Spirit-anointed preachers. I am thankful for what is going on in many parts of the world. I'm thankful for every faithful man in this nation or any nation. I'm thankful for them, but there is a tremendous scarcity of holy men who are anointed of God. There's a part of me wants to be that. There's another part of me wants to see it. Some of you may be thinking about the Lord's will, considering what he would have for you. I want you to understand this. I want you to understand that what happened in Thessalonica was all of God. I do not want you to sit there and think to yourself, "I could never do it. I can't preach. I could never preach like that. I could never do this. I could never do the other. I don't have this, these gifts or that." You know, when you sit there and you analyze it humanly, you will have a million and one excuses. A million and one. You can list them all and say, "Here's why there's no possible way it could be the will of God for me to be a preacher of the word." You know what you need to do? You know what needs to be done more and more in these days by young men wondering about the will of God? They learn to get alone with God. Get alone. I remember reading things like that. reading certain books that would press upon my young mind the need to get alone with God, and I took it to heart. And there were times whenever your friends were heading to this place and that place doing recreational stuff, it was all fine, nothing wrong with it. But I look back and I see how God was shaping, God was molding, God was preparing, and God was convincing the young man who felt he could do nothing for God. The only thing he needed was the filling of the Spirit. The power of God, the only thing. It's the one thing needful. Or as Leonard Ravenhill put it in one of his chapters in his book, Why Revival Tarries, in all thy getting, get unction. And it's as available to any one of you as it is to anyone else. Getting alone with God and praying for unction. May the Lord raise up such in these days.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.